Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Ooh. Did that work?
No. that was not our best one.
fuck it. We're doing it live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome, movie fans. Pete here.
And Brian.
And Neil.
And yes, we are still three dads navigating our way through the movies of our youth.
We are.
Trying to walk down this road of nostalgia.
Is it a lonely road? The loneliest road we'll ever know?
Something like that, yeah.
Tonight it's a memorial road.
It is a memorial.
It is a sad road.
It is. But, you know, Carl died in his sleep peacefully, man. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't complain. But, yeah, we're going to go right off the bat. No, we're not going to bury the lead or anything. Action Jackson tonight.
Yeah, good old Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers. We're going to celebrate his least understood role.
Well, you know, when I was thinking about
it, I think we understood it's about the money.
I don't know. I think this is 1988. He was on the verge of becoming the next action star, or
this was going to be his big break.
This was his big break. He's covered in oil for like this whole movie.
But doesn't it also how he was in every Rocky movie?
But he was the foil in the Rocky movies, right? This was...
The oil foil?
He's the leading man in this.
He's the lead.
He is Action Jackson.
Yeah, and... Just for the trailer alone, oh my God.
The trailer's awesome. For anyone who hasn't seen it yet, watch the trailer first. It'll get you hyped for this movie.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem, though. I haven't watched the trailer. You guys have watched the trailer. I've never seen the movie. Have you guys seen this movie?
I have not seen the movie.
I have seen the movie.
So, Neil,
yeah.
What questions are we going to be asking tonight?
Tonight, we're going to be asking ourselves, does the movie hold up?
So, you get to answer that one.
I will.
That one's all you.
I will.
Okay, just check it. Yeah.
No pressure.
No pressure. All the pressure.
I'll do you right, Carl.
Yeah. He's going to be spinning over in his grave, man.
Oh, man. Question number two.
Yes.
Should the movie be remade?
Or,
rebooted,
or
recycled,
or
removed from the earth,
or
what's another good one? What haven't we used yet?
Rebranded,
return to sender,
return. Getting creative here in our old age. And question number three:
will we have our children watch this movie as a reward or a punishment?
Absolutely.
The answer is yes.
I can tell you right now, I have not seen the movie. They're watching this movie.
Hmm.
A quick aside, I started watching, because of our conversation last night, I'm just going to let the listeners in, we brought up the conversation of Daniel Day-Lewis and Last of the Mohicans last night when we were doing some Dungeons & Dragons.
As you do.
And I rewatched half of it again today. It is just a fucking awesome movie.
I mean, yeah. I remember seeing it in theaters. We rewatched it.
Really good.
Our fans
I can't believe Justin
gold.
Has not seen it. That was the thing that really struck me.
Yeah.
Is Justin has not seen the movie in 30-some-odd years. He's like, I don't know what it's about. I'm like, okay, cool.
Man. He didn't even recognize the music when you played it.
I know.
Oh, that song. I mean, the song is fantastic.
Yeah.
The ending to the movie is so amazingly
that's
epic.
Giles made him watch, the fight.
He watched the end?
No, just the last minute fight scene.
Spoilers.
Well, he had seen the movie before, but it's been 30 years, so he watched the last 1 minute of Chingachgook,
I mean, it's sweet, but it's the whole, catharsis of the thing.
I know.
It builds up to it.
And that's what I was telling Brian, is that, at the end of that movie, it's, that 6 minute build up of from when Duncan gets shot on the burning pyre all the way up through Uncas dying, Alice throwing herself off the cliff, and then, Chingachgook and Nathaniel running, and then, the final, fucking up of Magua.
It's kind of like a Shakespearean type ending.
Oh, right? It's not a happy ending.
It's not a hot, happy ending, but it gets in the feels. It just grabs you.
Yes. I totally agree.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But we did also have to discuss whether Daniel Day-Lewis's interpretation of Nathaniel as being a rather aloof and douchey guy to everyone.
What do you call him? A stuck-up frat bro or something like that? But then what I was thinking today, I was like, honestly, I'd be kind of a dickish prick as well if I had to deal with those smarmy Brits the whole time.
I thought the royal policy was make the world England.
says Duncan.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, yeah. Anyways, Action Jackson. That was my quick aside.
Bigoted, is it Hawkeye's impatience with the bigoted egos of the British or Daniel Day-Lewis's asshole nature just spilling out now that it has a path to follow?
Yeah, that was the line.
Nice quote.
I mean, it's a chicken and egg situation.
Quoted himself.
No, I know.
By William Shakespeare.
So, Neil,
yes.
What do you remember about Action Jackson?
For one thing, I clearly remember the cover of the VHS.
Mm.
He's kind of has like a little bit of like a James Bond type feel to it, which is what they're going for. But if you watch the trailer, what it comes across as, it's what you want every Michael Bay movie to be. He's like kick-flipping across the hoods of cars.
Oh, like jumping over a car.
Yeah, yeah. He's not wearing a shirt. He's super ripped. Like, women want him. Men want to be him.
What did they say? They're like, yeah, Jackson, we don't even give this guy a gun. He's like, he's a cop.
Yeah.
That the cops won't give him a gun because he fucks them up so much.
I mean, for the record, they did that with Will Ferrell's character in The Other Guys.
Yep.
He didn't have a gun either.
Yeah, yeah, there's a reason for that, though. Safety. OSHA.
Desk pop.
This is not aimed for the bushes, though. He makes it through the whole movie, and it's, my memory was, is awesome.
Well, I'm excited.
How old were you when you watched this? Just want to...
Well, it was 88. Six?
Well, I didn't watch it in the theater.
Neither did I, weirdly.
But I took it home a number of times when I was working at the video store. It was like, you know, it's in the A's, so you're putting tapes back. It's like, you see it. It's right there.
It's right there on the...
Oh, you see it over and over and over again.
Did I know you worked in a video store?
I did. I worked at Video Kingdom. Yeah.
Were you a squire in the Video Kingdom?
I was.
A serf?
I was, yeah, I'm very humble. There was actually a huge full-scale like suit of armor holding a pike at the door.
Did you have to ask if people had like their liege card or something like that?
Exactly.
This is like medieval times, but with videos.
Wait, did anyone ever get into the suit of armor and like try and like wear it?
I think some people tried to return tapes into like the butthole.
Clever.
That was me.
Yeah, it was you.
I was there. In Nebraska.
So we'll see if my memory holds up. I really hope that it does. Peeking at the trailer today, I'm hopeful.
Well, yeah. This was also why Carl Weathers' character was like a version of G.I. Joe in the Toy Story movies, right? Like, this is an homage to his Action Jackson character.
Was it?
Carl? Action Jackson, Combat Carl.
When you say that, it sounds pretty real.
Right? Well, okay. I remember asking, like, why if, like, Carl Weathers? I mean, Carl Weathers is awesome, but why is it, I'm like, this, and then someone told me about Action Jackson, so that's my only touchstone to this movie, is vague Toy Story reference.
Well, on that note,
I'm excited.
I think we should go and get some ice cream and dig into this puppy.
Let's do it.
And, you know, what was the line? Like, hold your ribs, or like, how do you like your ribs?
Oh, yeah.
How do you like your ribs?
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for that line to come.
Smoky or smothered?
No, it's good. Just right about the, you know.
Does he have like a blowtorch or like a
bazooka?
Yeah.
He's like holding a bazooka. How do you like your ribs? And then it's just like, shoots.
Yeah.
And like, he's about to blow somebody. It's going to be one of those like Arnold Schwarzenegger commando movies with all of these wonderful quotes in there, but it's Carl Weathers getting them instead of Arnold.
Man, I'm super excited.
Let's just do it. Let's just do it.
Let's
press
the button and blow some.
All right, guys, you know how we do this. Let's go watch Carl Weathers. We only do that in the beginning, and we're back.
I know, but I feel like we should just start over.
We should just make the podcast longer.
Because we're going to need another crack at this.
I'm going to keep drinking some whiskey.
This movie took us on a journey, and I don't think it stopped yet.
Mm. As many journeys often have a beginning, middle, and an end, this journey was just a middle.
It's not about the destination, I'll tell you that.
You know what? This is just a day in the life of Jericho Action Jackson.
It is.
Just another day on the job.
God, I just realized we spent so much time learning his backstory, and then the plot really kicked into overdrive and just left us behind.
Yeah. This is, so welcome back, movie fans.
I'm Brian.
We already got that part, Brad.
Oh, it's still the same day, believe it or not.
We're still here. Oh my God, I'm tired. I'm lost.
I believe I said it best. I watched Tenet this weekend, and that movie really tested the limits of what I could understand and comprehend.
Mm.
And then I watched this movie.
And who knew that you had no limits, or you feel limited?
Limitless.
I think part of it for me was that the trailer made it look like just a big blow him up, kind of him being crazy and doing action. You know, his name is Action. There was a lot of talking in this. This is like when you go back and you read one of the comic books from like the late 80s, mm-hmm. and you're like, whoa, this is like a novel of reading.
There's so many word boxes.
Oh my God. It's text dense.
Yeah, that's what this movie was.
There were so many conversations where that. You'd said it before, like, or what have you said, that during the exposition dumps, of which there were many, that everyone doing the exposition dump was giving a performance of a lifetime character thing going on. And that character moment, you know, is their Oscar moment, somehow took away from the novel of information that we needed to take in order to follow where action needed to happen next.
Yeah.
Where was the action in this movie? It was all over the place.
Well, it showed up in pockets. But this
didn't, and it showed up on Craig T. Nelson's eyebrows.
Yeah, this was a lot of like a man walking from point A to point B to C to D to E, like just going along.
He was from A to C to J to Q to D to X to Z, back to M, and then went back to A again.
Yeah, as the story got more complicated, the people he was talking to got crazier.
Like, who keeps someone's balls in a closet?
Yeah,
in a jar?
I had a lot of questions about that one.
I wish I knew all the characters' names in here, because I want to refer to people, but it's like, and then there was that other guy that was in all those other movies.
There like, was the, 80s gangster.
80s gangster movies. I do have to say, like, I did enjoy seeing all, like, we had so many moments in there. We're like, oh my God, that guy's from...
Yeah, this movie is nothing but cameos of 80s action movies. We had almost the entire cast of Predator, minus Jesse Ventura and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We had a good bit of the cast of Die Hard.
Yep.
Sharon Stone. who really just bit part.
Yeah. I don't even know why she was in this movie.
It was, you know, the part was only as big as her incredibly proportioned breasts that showed up.
It's true. She got naked. She got shot.
That was Sharon Stone.
Game over.
Game over, man.
Oh, wow. So, where to begin?
Oh, with a two-sentence synopsis.
Yes.
Damn it.
In a world where nothing makes sense comes a story of a man who could have been a lawyer but decided his calling was police work in Detroit, and he wants all the action and none of the sense. Action Jackson. Works for me. I'm good. I wanted to keep it at two sentences this time.
Yeah.
And not run on that sentence like the movie ran on. This was like a run-on sentence of a movie. There was no punctuation. The whole movie was one sentence.
Yeah. The story was exciting, but it all takes place during Jericho Jackson's lamest part of his career. Right after he ripped the kid's arm off, and right before he became a lieutenant again.
I do love how he got his promotion at the end of the movie, like, amidst a giant crime scene full of dead bodies, dead socialites,
of
like,
which
just mayhem.
He drove a car upstairs.
Yep.
A Fiero.
A
Fiero.
The American Ferrari.
Damn right.
Yeah. And, like,
he drove a Fiero through a house.
And the chief was like, you get that, lieutenant? Did you just call him lieutenant?
Wait, would that have counted as vehicular homicide?
Only
he didn't kill anyone with it.
Attempted.
I mean,
it's self-defense.
Self-defense.
Wait, you're driving it at him? How's that self-defense? You're driving a car at him, you know, like, through a door jam.
Yeah, but...
What happened right after the other cop said, fuck it, and he threw him a gun?
I mean...
Oh, well, then that's much better.
Yeah.
Look, there were a lot of things ignored in this movie, like...
This movie was evidence, awesome.
Miranda rights.
Honestly, it was just an hour and a half process for the real director's cut. Release the Snyder
traffic
cut.
Laws. I believe we actually probably broke some like FAA regulations too.
How was it that the barbershop lady knew everything that was going on?
That was the moment Brian checked out.
I had no idea how she knew. Like, I missed half that
conversation. Well, I mean, barbershops are... That's what it is.
Yeah, but how does Craig T. Nelson go to that barbershop?
How does
The singer girl? Maybe.
Went to that barbershop? So, to be clear, it was like a barbershop in, like, the you know, Bronx or, like, in, like,
you know,
some ghetto
weird
section
coincidence
of Detroit?
In there? It's like that whole bit when, like, Vanity... runs into the back room in the pool hall as soon as, like, before Jackson's balls gets cut off. And she makes up this really wild, weird story that he's a messenger from God.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's,
you know, Vanity, like, in the 90s, just, like, gave up acting and became an evangelical Christian crazy person.
Well, that's a disappointment.
And maybe it started because of this movie.
But going back to the barbershop, I think the
quick aside, sorry.
There were some weird choices, but the hardest thing with the barbershop was that that's clearly like a barbershop in like downtown
Detroit.
Nowhere where any of the people Craig T. Nelson associates with are going to be like, you know where I like to get a good haircut? All the way in the dicey part of town at this little barbershop.
Yeah. Craig T. Nelson's slick back, straight Norwegian hair. Or, no, it's Swedish? I don't know. Anderson over here. Nelson
He's the opposite of that barbershop.
there are signs on that barbershop window that says, we do not serve Craig T. Nelson's.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, so it just... That's where, like, I checked out. I'm like, I'm done. I can't keep track of any of this.
I checked out multiple times over the movie. There were probably half a dozen times where I was just like, this is... I don't know.
Well, we pulled the taffy. Have you thought of your two-sentence synopsis yet, Neil?
Oh, shit. We're still there?
Yeah. I was trying to buy us time, but I...
Well, I gave you guys some...
Oh.
Okay, go for it, Brian. First.
Carl Weathers is Action Jackson, a cop who knows that Craig T. Nelson is a bad guy, and in the end, he was right.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great. That pretty much...
I'm so tired.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Now you don't have to watch this.
Spoiler.
But you should.
The bad guy introduced at the beginning of the movie is a bad guy.
Honestly, though, guys, I have to say, I kind of wish they did franchise this. There was a remake in 2014.
That's unfortunate.
I know. So question two, we'll get to that in a little bit. But.
Okay. Yeah, and Carl Weathers is Action Jackson, a cop who does it by the book. he's the other side of the coin from Axel Foley.
I guess that lawyer in him really helps him deductive reason his way.
Legally break laws?
Yeah, if the Jekyll and Hyde story was about a Harvard Law degree Carl Weathers in Detroit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It almost is like Beverly Hills Cop in reverse. A bizarro Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah. It's also Detroit.
Also
Detroit produces a lot of cool police officers.
I guess so.
Whew.
But I could follow the plot of Axel Foley's cases.
Did you notice when they checked when the pickpocket guy stole Action's wallet? And he's like, you know what his birthday was? 1938.
What?
So in this movie, he's 50 years old.
Whoa.
Supposedly. You didn't see that?
The fuck-a-duck guy?
Yeah, the fuck-a-duck. Oh, fuck-a-duck.
I'm sorry, I missed that little Easter egg nestled in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I didn't say something in the moment, but I was looking... I was just like... it struck me as odd.
So Action Jackson could have talked about like being a little boy during World War II.
The Korean War really fucked him up, I guess.
No, it would have been Vietnam, wouldn't it?
Sure.
No, it would have been... he was older than that.
No, but if he was born in 38, the Korean War was 50, 51, 52, 53. He would have been like 15 at the end of the Korean War.
But then Vietnam...
Vietnam would have been like early...
Good thing he was a student in Harvard working on a law degree to keep him out of trouble.
Well, that's... Yeah. Maybe he was a lawyer for a decade or so and then became a police officer.
Oh, yeah, that's what I like to do is, that's true. I'm hitting 10 years in my job. I'm now looking to figure out how to completely pivot to something else.
Speaking of pivot, are we moving into the next question?
Does this movie hold up? As the only person who has saw it before, Neil, you get to answer this one first. Wow, what a resounding and just enthusiastic.
Oh boy.
I'm going to say on the whole, it does not. But there are some parts that are pretty rad and 80s.
Totally fair.
It did definitely hit some nostalgia notes in there.
It had some really, unadulterated 80s cool stuff in there.
Boobs.
It had boobs, too.
It had 80s boobs.
I'm going to agree and say, it's not good, but, there is some fun things. I almost feel like this is a good drinking game.
Ooh.
This would be something where, you whenever something happens, you drink and just see if you and your buddies can make it through.
I would love to make a drinking game to this movie.
I think the action scenes hold up really well.
They were pretty cool. That window scene where the guy jumps through one window into
that
the other window
was really
pretty
good
sweet.
Stunt.
I like pretty much all the action in this movie, quite a lot.
Can we talk about the bad guy hit squad? That was
yes, please.
White Snake meets plus and the nihilists from the Big Lebowski
and the mirrored glasses jackal. Assassin guy.
Like that first scene when they just
ninja around
everybody. Butterfly knife guy and
ninja'd into that apartment building.
It was cool though. It was like the beginning of Ghost in the Shell. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it was just that
just
level.
Exactly that like level. Ghost in the Shell.
That's
exactly what I was thinking the whole time.
I'm sure our listeners are not going to be shocked to hear this, but having thrown knives and familiar with butterfly knives. I don't think you should throw a butterfly knife. that weight, and then it's gonna fold, and it's just dumb.
Well, I think most of the times he threw it, he was about a foot and a half away from the target.
Yeah,
stupid.
He learned that shit at Shawshank.
Stupid man.
Floyd.
Lloyd.
Lloyd.
All right.
I would probably have to agree with you on the question as far as not really holding up well. But in there, you got, there was, every single time, you knew it was coming, right? You knew that there was something out, it felt like they were jumping the shark.
Every 20 minutes?
From the get-go. They started off with, look, guys, there's a shark. We should jump it.
Which is fine. I'm not against that. But when it tried to get too clever, then...
Well, it just got complicated.
The giant sumo wrestler,
Mr. Ed?
Yeah, suddenly came in to save the day out of nowhere and joined the team.
So, let me see if I... So, Craig T. Nelson was... He's an auto magnate, right? And he wants to control the auto unions in Detroit. So, he's knocking off the auto union guys and wants to install his own puppet auto union president.
Yeah, that tracks.
But he also owns a club of which he's having an affair and shooting drugs up into the singer. And
yes.
He also knows kung fu.
He also knows beat up his own martial arts instructor.
As you do.
Well, it's kind of there. That's why they're there, right? They teach you, they want to make you better than they are. It's a good instructor, right? What are the other parts of this story? Is that really it? It's just getting there is the hard part?
The big part of the problem is that a lot of this is predicated on the fact that everyone thinks that they're all accidents, suicides.
Oh,
A very obvious, he's literally killing all the competition.
His boat blew up. Oh, what a weird accident.
Yeah, he shot himself through the chest and the package, totally suicidal.
Yeah.
Same thing with her. Boy, she was shot in the stomach too. Man, suicidal.
Yeah. I agree. The crimes were not nearly as clever as the movie thought it was.
She was shot through the stomach, and then just dropped at Jackson's house.
Naked.
Well, that part was probably the part that made the most sense, because he had seen her earlier. There was something weird going on between them. She left a note at the police station.
Fair.
Well, but the whole time, though, he had, like, a crack, like, team of hitmen who could just jump in and vanish.
Yeah.
So why did he just keep up with that?
He wanted to test his gun.
I guess.
Right? Works perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, so I don't know how to reboot this. I don't know how to remake this.
Well, they did.
I know they didn't, but I just... I like the character, Action Jackson made it
a more simple story.
Well, and Carl Weathers was engaging. I thought that he was charming. I had fun watching him. I liked the silly, over-the-top character of a Harvard lawyer.
I did have fun.
He was great. I wish we had more of him in just a better story.
If the movie was, I'd say it was, what, an hour and 36? If it was an hour and 22.
Should have
14 minutes off this movie, you could have, it would have been, and take some of the exposition out, since we're already lost.
Just
don't need it, right? Just kind of, maybe take one or two of the extra character performances and trim that down a little bit.
This is a police procedural Law and Order episode.
Honestly,
should have been 42 minutes.
I fair. What this could have been, though, is a Netflix series. Give me 6 episodes at 36 minutes each, right? And like, well, no, but hear me out,
I'm
man.
I'm listening. I'm just trying to think of having to sit through this movie now. It's six hours long.
No, not this story. I'm saying Action Jackson is a series. Every 36 minutes, there's some weird, crazy, fucked up case in Detroit that he's got to solve.
Yeah.
That's all. It's just he's a tough Detroit cop who has like cool catchphrasey shit and is very cartoony. Like, that was something you guys were talking about during
Neil,
the movie.
You said like this, it facilitates between serious action and cartoon action.
Right.
At the drop of a hat.
The character of Action Jackson is great. It was just the wrong story.
Yeah.
Well, or you could even take it like make an A-team or something like that. Like, and now it's the Action Jackson team, starring Mr. Ed, Action Jackson, Lounge Singer.
Sounds like you're making this up, but that's all people in the movie.
Didn't she say in there like you could teach Mr. T a lesson or something like
that? She did. Yeah.
I feel like she said that in there.
Yeah. You mean our the heroin junkie lounge singer?
Yeah.
Who
was the big, huge bodyguard guy?
The Mr. Ed guy.
Mr. Ed. That was his name, Mr. Ed?
Well, he called himself. He jumped off of like a roof and he's like, say hello to Mr. Ed. And he punched a guy in the nose.
I mean, I can't imagine that he was talking about the horse.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I definitely missed that.
I don't know.
Wow. Okay. But he's going to med school, so, you know, that's good.
He's going to
Harvard Medical School.
Yeah.
Harvard Medical School to become a better bodyguard. In his feature film debut, Mr. Ed fucks up Cleveland.
Right.
I don't know. If you were to reboot this, would you, you know, obviously can't have Carl Weathers reprise the role, although seeing old Action Jackson as like 2015 would have been pretty fucking awesome.
I mean,
yeah, right? There's almost no one that could do that kind of zany but serious.
I mean,
Kevin Hart. No.
Anthony Mackie's pretty funny.
Anthony Mackie could probably pull it off, but you need someone beefier.
You could just do the Creed, go all in on the Creed connection and do what, Michael Johns, Jack, yeah, Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah.
Huh. So I could see it.
Sure.
He's great.
Is there enough cocaine in the world to make that happen?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well. Yeah. There's a pitch meeting somewhere.
Yeah.
This will get greenlit with a lot of snow.
Yeah.
You mean a case of Argentinian red and a bunch of Colombian white?
You know it.
All right, Michael B. Jordan. I'm putting my
Michael B. Jordan would make a good action Jackson. Yeah. Okay. What about lounge singer Vanity?
That character just didn't work for me at all. That was probably my least favorite part of the movie.
She mattered not.
She mattered not, yeah.
Madonna in Dick Tracy was so much better in the exact same purpose.
Mm.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Dick Tracy, because with all the characters, I felt like we were watching Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Because no one could just sit down and be like, oh,
as hard as that
here.
Was to get through, because that was a slog.
Another super convoluted, many, many, many characters.
That could have been three movies.
I still can't remember the plot of Dick Tracy.
Don't worry about it. There isn't.
He, too, one. Also was framed at one point. God, this is just Dick Tracy 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fuck.
Well.
Yeah, I don't have anyone for Vanity's character, either.
A sock puppet. Muppet.
it's the next Muppet movie.
Well,
Muppet movie.
What about, like, no, you could do, like, a Jenna Ortega kind of.
I mean, you could pick any. Anybody.
But you'd have to switch the character up. You'd have to rewrite the script completely and just make her not suck.
I mean,
I get that he needed a foil, but yeah, her character just.
What about Craig T. Nelson? What about Della Plante? I mean, Plante.
Also, I might be the only one. I actually liked Craig T. Nelson in this movie.
He was fine.
He was.
I did not appreciate much like everything.
He was so vanilla though.
But he's supposed to be.
But he wasn't, menacing. There was.
I thought he was kind of menacing. I liked him. I liked him.
Well,
I was indifferent to him.
It's hard to see him as, like, a
anything
Kung
like
Fu
coach?
Master. Like, I liked him better. Like, he was a fine
Kung
bad
Fu
guy.
Kung Fu Master car magnate.
Yeah. It was, again, too many hats. Just pick a lane. Either he's, you know, like, a steely-eyed mafia boss, or he is a crazy, sociopathic Kung Fu Master. You can't have it all. Can't have it all.
When we talk about this movie, it sounds better than it is.
And maybe that's part of it. Maybe if they just leaned even harder.
You know what would
jacked it up to 11?
Chris Evans.
As Craig T. Nelson?
Yep.
Oh.
Because in Knives Out, he was just like on the verge of like, or maybe
the gray
Daniel
man.
Craig.
Well, I was going to say like the gray man, he played the bad guy.
Yeah.
So he could. Daniel Craig. Yeah, I mean, but again, the problem is like every character, like as you said, vanilla. Like I feel like you could put anybody in there and be like, okay.
Maybe that's why this movie didn't really catch on to the franchise that they wanted. It's just like anyone watching this is just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's not Craig.
It'd be like me trying to write a screenplay. This is what I'd come up with something like this. Just not great. Although it got 4.5 stars.
It made a lot of money. It got a lot of stars. It has a lot of goodwill. Like,
yeah.
It wants to be good. It's just not.
It's outperforming for what it is.
Yeah. It's. Oh, man.
Well, would you guys make your kids watch it?
Honestly, no. Not even for punishment or reward.
There's like, just. I think.
Unless, you know.
yeah. They would watch it like, this is entertaining,
so
but they wouldn't have any idea
what's
going
on. The only
reason
why I would have any of my children watch it is they're in college, and they're like, hey, Dad, was Sharon Stone ever hot? And I'll be like, watch this.
No, you will not. You will instead have them watch Total Recall, in which she is hot, the movie's great, Arnold Schwarzenegger brings on the action, the lines, and the plot is straightforward, and you've got Quato.
Oh,
yeah, so no. Great. You're going to be like, oh, no, Sharon Stone is hot. No, you're going to just watch Total Recall.
Fair.
Damn. I kind of wish we had watched Total Recall.
Didn't we already do Total Recall?
Yeah, I think so. Let's just talk about how better, like, all the better movies we've watched.
Oh, man.
So do you think Carl Weathers' legacy is just going to be like the Predator handshake? Is that like kind of like how...
He rediscovered himself with Happy Gilmore. He rediscovered himself with Mandalorian.
What do you think is his most signature moment in his career?
Moment?
Yeah.
In his career. Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
Running with Sylvester Stallone
on
a beach.
Maybe. Well, or in the flashback sequences in Rocky 2, or is it Rocky 3 when he's dead after he dies to...
Drogo?
Drogo.
I wanted to say Khal Drogo, but that's Oops. Ooh, Jason Momoa. He'd make a good action Jackson. Why not?
You know what? Screw it. I want to see us cast in the next action Jackson. We'll just flip coins and see what roles we get. One of us gets to be Vanity. One of us could be Jackson. Another one's Craig T. Nelson.
As long as I get to use that giant silver syringe.
Oh my god, the drug syringe, yeah.
The drug syringe.
Which is hilarious because of all the things in this movie, you'd think they'd be like, hey guys, we need a syringe for heroin. Is anyone familiar with heroin?
And we're in Detroit. Where could we get something?
It's one of these syringes, right? I got this at a taxidermy shop. That's what they use. It's silver. It comes with cartridges.
A taxidermy needle. Yeah.
It's like an epidural. It was fucking weird. With enough heroin in it to take out a horse.
I know.
Well, I'm pretty much all done with this. I don't know what else to say. It was fun. I'm glad I got to watch this with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, what a wonderful evening. You listeners, if you watched it too, I'm sorry. You didn't have us.
We paid homage to Carl Weathers. I enjoyed his performance in this.
He was a fine actor. Well, and I will say this, that I do appreciate that, like, in Happy Gilmore, he's playing a one-handed, like, old golf pro and lived it up. Like, on Mandalorian, like, he was great.
He brought his A-game to this role.
Mm-hmm. And I think
it's just the script sucked.
Yeah, it's not his fault. He always brought his A game.
He came up with a script.
Well, he came up with the idea for the movie. I don't know if he was the screenwriter.
When people die, we don't mention the negative things.
Was he the screenwriter? Did he write the screenplay?
Were you saying that he and Arnold just like smoked cigars and came up with the whole story?
No, he and the who directed Predator.
John McTiernan.
Also in Predator, when they all... Wait, was it during the time when they all got, like, dysentery because they drank the water and so everybody on the set was all sick?
That must be it.
That's how this happened.
It all makes sense now.
So I don't know if he wrote... I'm pretty sure he didn't write the screenplay, but he came up with the idea for the movie.
Okay. I think one of those Boggle games came up with a screenplay. All right, where are we going on from here? So we're
gonna go back to the Burbs next.
Yeah, we were gonna
unless
watch
someone
the Burbs.
Else dies in the next week.
Whoa,
or two.
Let's just hope that if we lose another person, that their repertoire was a little friendlier.
That's fair. Any parting words or parting shots?
Nope. No, yeah. I'm glad we got to watch a Carl Weathers movie, though.
Yeah, that was fun. I would watch more from his catalog of film.
I mean, I've seen a lot.
I've seen catalog. The highlights. I feel like...
I don't know. The one that was supposed to be Action Jackson 2, that Dangerous Passion movie in 1990, I'm tempted to be like...
Now would be the time.
Not right now.
You follow your bliss.
Are we going to do the Burbs?
Let's
back to the Burbs.
All right. Yeah.
I do want to watch Gung Ho at some point.
Okay.
Another Detroit movie.
All right. Slide it to the top of the list.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Send us an email at dadsmovienight@gmail.com. We do occasionally check it. Or Brian does.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a lot of credit card offers, guys.
All right. that's it. All right, we're gonna go to bed.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
Oh man, Last Action Hero. We should have just done that instead and told everyone we did Action Jackson.
How do you like your ribs?
I could eat some ribs.